my ice cream cake.
What is up, everybody? You have just tuned into the Tether Radio podcast, the only podcast keeping you from spiraling out into the infinite abyss. I'm your host, Daniel, and I am joined this week, not by Allie, not by Larry, but by my lovely little wifey.
My wife.
Miri. Nice. Oh, I bet y'all were expecting the normal
one
shit.
Of your other normal co-hosts.
Yeah. Oh, my cord's all like tangled.
Well, fix that shit.
I can't. Okay. Well, I might have to unplug for a second, but we can still talk. Yeah. So basically, what has occurred at this point is we've got one of our co-hosts vacationing, and then we've got another co-host that had some stuff come up with. I'm going to say his kid. You can decide who's who. There we go. I'm back. Sorry. I'm back listening. Legit, Larry's kid was sick, and I get it, dude. Sick kid, like, you know. So what I would say at this point is, Allie, I hope you're having a fantastic time in Florida. Larry, I hope your kid's on the mend soon, so. That's what I'll leave it at.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. Is it Miri? Uh-huh, uh-huh. So yeah, if you've not heard an episode with my wife, Megan, aka Miri, I don't know, when was the last time you were on the podcast? I was just trying to think.
I don't know. I think the last one was like one of the anniversary ones.
Really?
I think so. Maybe
it could have been D'Outlaw Pass. No way.
Oh,
because that would have been episode. That would have been 100 episodes ago.
It might have been.
That's 2 years.
Nah, surely I've.
You were on. You were on.
Or not before, but after that.
I thought we did. Maybe we did something big for like 250 or something like that. Didn't we do Chaos? When was Chaos and like all that shit? I don't even fucking remember.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
No one cares.
I don't get paid the big bucks to remember shit. I get paid the big bucks to just talk.
Yeah.
And by that I mean no bucks and no fucks. That's what I give. I'm sorry. I get no bucks and I give no fucks.
Yeah, that you made that sound like
oh, especially talking to you. Jeez.
Yeah, that's rough. Why I was like, huh?
No. All right. Well, so obviously this one's going to be like a little bit off the beaten path. We are nice and relaxed, you know. Everything's good here in the hood. And we are just going to keep this, I don't even know what this...
super cash.
Well, this semblance of a raft that is the Tether Radio podcast, we're going to keep it afloat.
Well, so also someone didn't tell you in time to let me have time to look up stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So
I have.
So Megan's like, got a couple things, and I've got a couple things. I'm not going to guarantee that we are going to make it through the entire hour and a half, but if we do, you're welcome, and if we don't, we're sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Megan's not sorry about anything. I've been married to her for, what, 12 years this year?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, she's never apologized.
No.
She's just like, remind me again how you were wrong, Daniel.
Yeah, that's about right.
So,
what is it? Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life.
That sounds about right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, Megan, we normally start the podcast off with talking about our weeks. How's your week going?
Woo! Pretty sure you know how that's going.
Yeah, I figured I'd ask. It's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We're in sprints at work right now, so I'm doing a lot of stuff and fixing what are called bugs.
Yeah.
But not like insect bugs, yeah. bugs and programs. So okay. she's been a lot. Right. And then, you know, we're getting to listen to old Finnegan asked to listen to the
President's song
and the state song. Although that was kind of fun to actually remember that we know that state song, which is ridiculous.
It's true. And everybody knows that the Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, we're not going through all of it now. No, you got too excited and we're not going through all of it. It ain't fucking happening, dude. And by the way, for anyone out there, be sure to actually look up an alphabetical list of the states when you're singing that song. No, otherwise, your wife might do what my wife did and just try to skip over states because...
I only skip over like two in the
It's like
ends.
New Hampshire, I think. Yeah.
New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey. I always forget.
Ah, my gosh. Whoops. Jersey Shore, man. Sorry. All right. Well, so I was trying to think. The only thing that I wanted to mention was we watched the
Terminal List.
No.
Oh.
Well, we did watch that.
Well, we started it.
We started the Terminal List, and then my parents bogarted it, and so...
oh, I know what you're talking about.
The Iron Claw.
The Iron Claw.
Yeah.
Super depressing.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. Like, it was... I thought it was going to be something very different. Now, I knew nothing about the family going into it, but holy shit, it was just very... It was intense as shit. So,
well, the previews made it look different, which now I get why the previews were the way they were. Yeah. But.
Well, nobody's going to go see what we watched.
I wonder how many people actually went and saw that in theater.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure we could probably pull like.
Yeah, I would.
That
data. Was a lot, though, but I didn't know anything about it either. But it was very good. I did keep guessing all the stuff that was going to happen.
Yeah, but it was very good.
Yeah.
But it was just intense.
Yeah. For not knowing anything about it, they had a lot of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I feel like, because remember I kept being like, oh, this person's about to kill themselves. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And that happened multiple times. Yeah. So,
spoiler alert.
Yikes. If you hadn't seen it, sorry. And if you have, I don't know, you're welcome.
But I mean, they all did good in it. I mean, for not knowing anything about it, the acting was good.
The acting was really solid. Yeah. It was just, I try to stay away from drama.
Yeah.
Movies and in real life, in movies, in everything.
It was a lot more drama than action.
God, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. So, yeah. So we had
that. We went to the pump track.
Went to the pump track with the kiddo.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was especially awesome when he would try to get himself out of like the pump track, like, basin kind of thing, and you have to have a decent bit of speed, and then he'd just stop pedaling and he'd make it like 2/3 of the way up, and then his eyes would get huge and he'd realize, oh fuck, I'm going backwards now. That was really funny. So
and then all we can see is like the tip of his head go backwards.
Yeah, go back.
But he didn't cry, I will say that. And he got
and there were some cool kids
and started all over again.
And there were some cool kids there that it was like,
yeah, they were super nice.
Like, really, like, there was this one kid that would just, like, legit bail off his fucking bike.
To help
and, like,
him up.
To help Finn up and, like, get him out of the way and stuff, which I guess that was more of, like, a... It might have been more of a, oh, I got ran over when I was, like...
Yeah.
Or I got run over, ran over. Wow.
I got run over.
I got run over when I was, you know, his age trying to do this. So, like, maybe I need to help him get out of the way. Yeah. So, but,
maybe.
But it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I was trying to think of any other entertainment.
Wait, was
stuff.
That this past weekend?
What's
the up? The Low Country Boil?
It was.
Man, that seems like ages ago.
This week seems. But. Yeah, this week. Seems fucking long.
That was fun.
Yeah, we did a low country boil with some friends. We did shrimp and shrimp and mussels and Dewey sausage and flipping potatoes and corn. Oh, dude, it was good.
So good.
It was very good, and it was very easy. So
yeah.
If you have an outdoor like burner,
we don't have whatever. To do it.
You don't have to do it outdoor.
Yeah.
Well, it was just fun to be messy, to be honest with you.
But there are some where you can like the ones in New York, which I know, or not New York, North Carolina. You can buy them and they're already like ready and you can do it on the stove.
Yeah, it was cool.
Those aren't bad.
But yeah, like we did that shit on Saturday evening and that worked out really well and all that jazz. So it was fun. It was a good time to be had. I was trying to think of any other... before I forget, this is going to be your last call for book club because the next episode after this will be after book club. We are covering Michelle McNamara's I'll Be Gone in the Dark. There are still copies left on audio at the Knox County Library. I think the last I saw was either 3 or 4 copies were left. So if you have a library card or if you want to go sign up for one, you can crush this book. It's 10 hours. I know that seems like a lot of listening, but you can also speed it up if you'd like to. Download the Libby app on your phone, L-I-B-B-Y, and then connect your library card to that, and you can get audiobooks and stuff. And it's super cool, super easy. It's been a really good book. I finished it a couple days ago, and it was very good, and it's going to be a fun discussion. So, and the premise is... this girl or this lady that was married to Patton Oswalt, the actor, she became obsessed with the Golden State Killer that I believe she actually dubbed him that, but it was he was known as the East Area Rapist, EAR or the EAR, in California, and just dude was just a despicable individual, and it was kind of her journey through trying to figure out who that is or was. So really, really cool, really intense, but we're going to be discussing it on April 24th at approximately 7:30 p.m. So, and that's Eastern. So if you want to join Rock and Roll, join. You can read some of it, all of it, none of it, doesn't matter. But we will try to start right around 7:30 Eastern on April 24th. And once again, the book is I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. So nice. That's all I got for that. Oh, we watched a really weird ass thing called maybe I already talked about this. Chicken Nugget.
Yeah, we watched that a long time ago. Yeah, you probably already talked about it.
I probably did. So.
Something weird.
It was weird. It's Korean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Korean. So,
but I don't think each episode from what I've read or seen on social media, it's more than just the person that turns into a chicken nugget.
Like more people turn
into turn into other foods.
Dude, is that how McDonald's is coming up with these 50 platters?
Yeah, probably.
We know it's not chicken. It's just people that opt into it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Nasty. So we're going to try to keep some kind of semblance of a normal episode. And Megan was an absolute dear, and she drummed up an Am I the Asshole? So Larry, if you ever listen to this, or if listeners want to give Larry shit, Megan is carrying the torch, bro. She's doing it. But, so
I found two. So I'm going to give you options, which I know is not normally what you do.
No, yeah. Are you just doing the titles?
Yes.
Yeah. I like where this is going.
And also forgive me because I know there's lots of acronyms in here. I can already tell. And I always forget what all these stand for, but I read through them. And so I think I know what they are. So.
All right.
All right, so this first one...
Well, you already did more than Larry does, so...
I didn't throw that
shade. I'm sorry, Larry. I have to do it, dude. I have to do it.
All right, so the first one is a true Am I the Asshole one. And yep. It's the, am I the asshole for throwing my rings in the ocean after my husband told me he had an affair, even though it was a quote prank, unquote. That's the first okay. one.
All right. Got it.
All right. The other one is, will I be the asshole? Right, WIBTA. If I confronted my wife over something I've overheard and it has advice needed under it.
Ooh. All right. So one is we threw rings in the ocean because of a prank affair.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, am I going to be the asshole if I
confront my wife over something I've overheard?
Let's do the throw the rings in the ocean. I just feel like that's just more. No, you think you want to go with the other one?
I don't know. Both are good. So
both are salacious. So it's like, come on,
pick which one.
Well, I kind of did, and then you made me question myself, which is like what you do most of my life. So
okay, well, how about this? If we have time, we can do the will I be the asshole later.
Okay,
since that's not right. A true am I the asshole.
I like it. I like.
All right. Okay. Up. Okay. All right, let's see here. Gonna get into a persona for it, okay?
Ooh.
All right.
Oh, wait, can you text me the link? Oh. Just so, yeah.
What? Is well, that not cheating? No. Are you supposed to say yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Before, title? And then listen, I can help go through.
I listen to your podcast.
Yeah, occasionally. But, okay, so let's see. Am I the asshole for throwing my rings in the ocean after my husband did whatever? I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Ready?
Just for, yeah. Let's okay. do it.
This is the dumbest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. Nice. I said it was.
Okay.
This past Sunday, my husband and male 29 and female 27 were on our boat together. We were just relaxing and talking and having a good morning. All of a sudden, my husband gets really serious and tells me, "Baby, I'm so sorry, but I have to tell you something. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I had an affair." For context, my husband thinks he's a comedian. He says dumb shit all the time, but he's never joked about our marriage or relationship.
I feel like this is too close to home. my husband thinks he's a comedian.
I fully believed him. I was blinded by rage and hurt, and I'm not a confrontational person at all. So all I did was stand up, take my rings off, and throw them into the ocean. I don't even know why I did it. It was just the first thing I thought of doing. My husband's jaw hit the floor. He immediately started to yell at me that it was a joke, a prank. He wasn't serious and I was an idiot. My jaw dropped then too. I yelled at him too and called him the same. I cried too, realizing I just threw my lovely and sentimental rings into the ocean. We've been arguing for days. He says I'm the asshole. I say he's the asshole. And I have no idea who's right. Yes, admittedly, I threw about 10K worth of rings into the ocean and will never find them again. But he looked me in my eyes and told me he had an affair. I am upset about my rings. I have apologized for throwing them, but I just don't feel like the asshole.
Oh my God. I feel like that was a shit time to like have a joke like that.
Right?
It's like you're gonna do it. So they're on a boat in the ocean,
right?
What?
Also, 10K, sell that shit.
Yeah, right. Oh my God!
Don't throw it in the ocean.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. All right, so number one comment, not the asshole. Ask him to explain what part of it was supposed to be quote-unquote funny. The breaking your heart part, the quote, I want to see you cry part, the quote, let me put you under a terrible scenario to see how you break down part. None of it was meant to be funny. If the rings are lost, they were lost on his own GD immaturity. First of all, yeah, I like, honestly, I don't, when it's put into that kind of perspective, it's kind of like, well, where was the funny part? It's like,
yeah,
like I understand that it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to tell you this, but like the puppy I bought you got into rat poison.
Yeah.
Like that's funny. I mean, it's not funny, no. But you know what I'm saying? That yeah. It's like, it could be potentially perceived as funny, but well, it's also I like, don't
feel, well, okay. I feel like you would joke about an affair if you were like out with a group of friends,
yeah.
And you were like joking about things in general.
Oh, that's a good point. They're by themselves.
But they're by themselves on a boat, just chilling, from what it sounds like. And he just randomly comes out and says,
I'm just going to say, dude's the asshole.
Yeah.
Dude's the asshole. She's like, not. And honestly, that just, that really sucks.
Yeah.
$10,000, but I also don't think that she had $10,000 worth of rings.
I don't know. That'd be really silly.
Personally.
Why would you want that much?
Well, not only that,
some
but
people want that much.
Well, but not only that, but it's like, okay, he's 29, she's 27. They're both like hardcore. Well, so would that still be millennials or are we into Gen Z at that point? Because we already covered last week, they don't splurge on rings, they splurge on groceries. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, when
I don't
does
know. They have a boat too, and they're that young.
Gen Z birth years. Here we go. Gen Z, 12 to 27. So it's like super, almost out of the millennial thing. So
yeah,
that's wild, dude.
But I thought that was a fun one.
Yeah, that's wild.
And some of the comments are just hilarious.
I think that it's really interesting that, like, I mean, I guess maybe that's so. If you told me that you had an affair on with me, then I'd be like, oh my god,
future me,
future me. No, if you told me that you had an affair, the first thing that I'm gonna do is not gonna. Like, I'm not thinking about my wedding ring.
No.
At all. Mm-mm. I'm not thinking about things that I'm wearing or, like, anything like that.
Right.
So, this kind of goes under the category of, do we really even think this is real or do we think this is, like, karma farming? Do you know what karma farming is?
No.
Okay. So, on Reddit, mm-hmm. karma is, like,
oh,
when
yeah,
you get
yeah.
voted up and mm-hmm. all that jazz. So it makes me wonder if this isn't karma farming because it's just the fact that it's like, I mean, the first thing that somebody is going to think about is to tear off their rings and throw them in the ocean.
I mean, maybe she thought that would get back at them because they were so expensive.
I don't know. I'm not sure I buy it, but
someone wrote, you don't owe him an apology. He's a sabotager.
Oh man,
what kind of human decides while having a nice day on a boat with their spouse to make a joke like this?
It really is a shit joke.
It is.
I'm gonna say he's the asshole for making the joke. I think it's insane that she would just like throw expensive things in the ocean.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
someone wrote, he wasn't lying, he's gaslighting you to cover what he did.
Maybe the case, I don't know.
Oh man, who knows? Jeez. Anywho,
yeah.
What's up next?
All right. Well, let's get into the rest of this jazz. And if we if it seems like we're falling flat, then we can go back to another. We can do the.
I've got a. Will I be the asshole?
I know. That's what
and
I'm saying.
I've got.
Some you got a quiz, right?
Yeah, I got some trivia, but I'm not going to tell you what kind of trivia. Okay.
Let's cover some articles and shit first.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. Right. That sounds good.
So I wanted to cover this one real quick because, oh, and you don't have, or did you find it?
I'm in it.
Oh, she's in it to win it. Look up the AP article that I, did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay. All right, so owners of a Colorado funeral home where 190 decaying bodies were found are charged with COVID fraud. We covered this, but I wanted to cover this as a follow-up because basically they had been found out, but nothing. I don't think that we had a lot of details in regards to this stuff.
Oh, so. I remember this.
Yeah.
I remember you guys telling me about it.
So a couple who owned a Colorado funeral home where authorities last year discovered 190 decaying bodies were indicted on federal charges that they misspent nearly $900,000 in pandemic relief funds on vacations, cosmetic surgery, jewelry, and other personal expenses, according to court documents unsealed on Monday. Sorry, I gotta move this because it's like distracting both of us. The indictment reaffirms accusations from state prosecutors that John and Carrie Halford gave families dry concrete instead of cremated ashes and alleges the couple buried the wrong body on two occasions. So,
how do you know you buried the wrong body if it was cremated?
Because I would assume that they buried one, and then they have one that's listed as the same one that they think that they buried that's not buried.
Ooh.
So it's like, sorry, Billy Bob is not in the ground. He's over here on the mantle. So the couple also collected more than $130,000 from families for cremations and burial services they never provided, the indictment said. I thought this was really fascinating because they actually got Assistant U.S. Attorney Tim Neff argued that the couple were a flight risk because after they found that there were decaying bodies at their
funeral
crematorium or something, that they allegedly fled to Oklahoma last October when the decaying bodies were first discovered and before their arrest on state charges on November 8th. They simply evaporated from the community, Neff said. The judge did not immediately decide if the couple should be released pending trial. He said an arraignment hearing for Thursday. This was the other thing that was like, absolutely wild. So they were basically just storing bodies because apparently in Colorado there are no barriers to entry in regards to funeral home regulations. Colorado has some of the weakest funeral home regulations in the country. Funeral home operators in the state don't have to graduate high school, let alone study mortuary science or pass an exam. So basically, hey, if you want to be a funeral home operator and you don't want to go through any of the rigmarole, then move to Colorado. Let's see here. What was the other part that I wanted to talk about? It was pretty much just talking about how absolutely distraught these families were finding out that they had tried to do what the deceased family members' last wishes were and spread the ashes with family in Hawaii, and they found out that, hey, guess what, that was probably just cement that you were given.
Can you imagine being one of those families and what?
I would be absolutely So the indictment alleges the couple used $882,300 in pandemic relief funds to buy items that also included a vehicle, dinners, tuition for their child, and cryptocurrency. The fraud involved three loans obtained between March 2020 and October 2021. This is one of these things that I guarantee fucking to you a zillion cases that are going to come out about pandemic relief funds that were just completely misappropriated kind of thing. And it's just going to be really fascinating to see all of the shit that went down during the pandemic that it was like, oh, well, everybody's focus is on the pandemic. So, and we're trying to do all these nice things. And there are just a lot of bad actors out there that are like, hey, guess what? Fuck you. Fuck the pandemic. Fuck your money. We'll take it all. Mm-hmm. So,
did you see what vehicles they bought?
I did see. Yeah.
A Yukon and an Infiniti.
Yeah, of course. And the Halfords also paid for trips to California, Florida, and Las Vegas, as well as $31,000 in cryptocurrency, laser body sculpting, and shopping at luxury retailers like Gucci and Tiffany & Co.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I hope they throw the fucking book at these idiots.
Yeah.
But jeez, I mean, I know, dude, that they're going to make an example of these people, and then the rest of the people are just going to fucking walk. So,
oh, they didn't even like pay out their rent. I would have just paid out the rent.
But
I guess they wanted to buy all the nice things. I'm sorry, I'm being too.
You're being too pragmatic and like too like thought out. Like, you'd be a good criminal if you had less like moral compass kind of thing. Yeah. You know,
I wouldn't do so good at this.
Yeah. But no, I felt like we needed to cover this one real quick, like, just because we had covered it earlier, and this is just a follow-up to, hey, guess what? These motherfuckers are really getting it thrown at them. So, mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely good. And I was trying to see... So the Halfords case and others in recent years spurred Colorado lawmakers to introduce legislation to strengthen oversight with rules that are in line with or exceed those in other states. Those bills are currently moving through the state legislature. So basically, I think that they're going to start cranking down on the weak funeral home regulations in Colorado, so, and probably rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I've got for that bad boy. Now I'm going to move on to, actually, I'll give you options, Megan.
Okay.
You see what I've got on the spreadsheet. What is, what seems to tickle your fancy?
Probably this one that,
yeah,
I thought you wanted to talk to me about earlier today.
Absolutely. So Megan chose this, and like, honestly, this is why our child rides the bus. Tantrums and turf wars. The school car line is chaos. And this was actually the fucking Wall Street Journal. So, yeah. Anywho, let's get to it. Arguments, arrests, lawsuits, police. The bumper-to-bumper jockeying at school drop-off and pickup is lurching past annoyance en route to true crime drama. Quote, do not cut the line. Do not drive on the gravel path near the water tower. End quote. Principal Michael Girouard told Red Oak Middle School parents in Brattleboro, North Carolina, in a scolding missive. Quote, if you find yourself running late, get up earlier. Jordan Hahn of Plant City, Florida, fed up with people driving through neighbors' yards to jump the line before and after school, posted a map on Facebook with hand-drawn arrows showing the proper protocol at Springhead Elementary School. Quote, there's two different blocks you can take to simply act like a decent human being, Han wrote. Her post drew a stream of huzzas, including one woman's observation that, quote, there isn't a worse car line than Springhead, and that's a hill I'll die on, end quote.
I don't know. You need to come out here.
Oh, man, yeah.
I know some schools that are even worse than ours.
Holy shit. What, Farragut?
Mm-mm.
Who?
Probably North Shore.
Oh, North Shore's terrible.
One way in, one way out,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, North Shore is terrible. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, parents have long dreaded the nerve-fraying navigation required for car caravans ferrying students to and fro. It seems to be getting worse. New federal data show a rising share of students who ride in cars to school. It isn't clear whether the growth comes from bus driver shortages, more work from home parents, or other reasons. That's what I was going to ask you, Megan. Why do you think more parents are choosing to drive their children to school?
I don't know. Get on the bus.
I mean, I'm fucking... What? Obviously, we're on that. We were literally... and I think I've already said this on the podcast, but I will repeat myself. We sent Finn on the bus as a kindergartner because we had been told that either you have to leave at the same time the bus comes to get your child to school on time, and it's not even guaranteed that they'll be there on time. So if you leave at the same time as the bus, there's some idiot motherfucker in front of you in the line mm-hmm. that's causing a delay, and your kid gets to class late. Guess who gets the fucking tardy? Mm-hmm. It ain't the fucking parents, and it ain't the idiot fucking creating the absolute travesty that is the car line. No, it's you, and it's your kid. So
I wonder why there's more people, though, doing that.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, my parents had to drive me to school.
I think it's coddling.
You think so?
I absolutely think it's coddling.
That's kind of weird, though, don't you? No. Because wouldn't it be like our generation that's doing that?
There are. Okay. Hang on. We won't name names, but we know plenty of people.
But, I mean, my parents had to drive me to school, but that's because I was within the, like, the 1 mile range or whatever it was.
Which makes sense.
And there weren't sidewalks.
All these people are not. Or, like,
a safe way for me. Yeah.
Well, so, and that's another thing that you bring up that's actually a really fucking good point. I mean, they didn't allow walk-ups. They still don't allow walk-ups at our kids' school mm-hmm. because of the recent school shootings. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it was optional for me to drive to, like, for instance, there is a food city that is probably within, I'd say a quarter mile.
If that.
It's not a tenth of a mile. It's more
distance.
It's more than a tenth of a mile.
Okay, whatever.
More than a tenth of a mile, less than a quarter of a mile. How about that? Okay. But point is, easily walkable. But they don't allow walk-ups because of all this school shooting bullshit. Mm-hmm. So what I would submit is, hey, guess what? Let's get more like resource officers to actually be like fucking walking the grounds and shit and let people walk their fucking kid to school. Like mm-hmm. how many shooters do show up with a child? Yeah. That like, honestly, like what? Have we ever heard of a shooter show up with a kid?
No.
I'm pretty sure they fucking just come with a gun, right? Yeah. Anyway, so my point is like, I feel like that would absolutely take a while. That might, I still think it's just coddling. I think our generation just like fucking, there's too much hand holding.
Well, I mean, some people do have to get up super early to get on. To get on our bus, even.
True. Yeah.
We're lucky because ours is close. But
there's no way that they've got to leave probably just roughly the same time.
I mean, to get... yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or I would think
that. I don't know.
No, I mean, like, fucking come at us, tetherradio@gmail.com. Like, seriously. Like, if there is something that we are absolutely just overlooking, fucking let us know, man.
Like, you and I aren't of the norm, though.
How so?
Because we're just like, why would you not utilize that service that exists?
Why would you complicate
to your day by sitting in a line to drop your kid off at school?
Yeah, I don't know.
When you know, well, and for this like situation, right? Because this is like a situation where these parents are getting on Facebook and making a big hoorah about it. When it's just like, dude, just follow the rules. Drop your kid off, move on, follow the traffic rules they've set up and you're good to go. These people are just being
Well, and bitches. I've never understood, like, it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. Like they force you to drop your kid off the first like few days of kindergarten.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was probably one of the fucking easiest things that I've ever done. Like, well, you don't even have to get out of your car.
Yeah. Well, you remember how dramatic some people were getting in our school's, like, Facebook yeah. group thing? I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Just follow the signs. Drop off your kid. Move yeah. on. Stop dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
Go.
In fucking sane, dude. Interesting. So, West Melbourne, Florida police posted 10, quote, quick refreshers for mm-hmm. parents picking up and dropping off. The tips, some more sober than others, include, quote, just say no to quick chats. Quote, don't throw your kid out of a moving vehicle. And remember, you have to pick the kids back up. So this is not an excuse for day drinking. You know who you are. What? Mm-mm. Police Lieutenant Greg?
Mm.
Sure. Are you reading along?
Yeah, okay. That sounds great.
Graig. Oh, man, I can't. Why can't we just? Anyway.
Yeah.
Just Aaron Stoft said the post's light tone was meant to ease people's stress, though, quote, we've dealt with the day drinkers.
What?
He said, a single rule breaker can mess everything up, he said. That parent who needed to say goodbye four times? You've now added 15 minutes to the last person in line. So they talked about another person that basically started parking in the no parking zone and ended up with $335 of citations. And then this was like one of the more wild ones. Let's see. Speaking of Facebook, mm-hmm. Miri, let's see. Kristen Melker of Vicksburg, Mississippi, now sends her children to school by bus after she was cursed at for pulling in front of a car that had stopped short of the designated drop-off spot. I'm sorry, not that one. This one. Let's see. The drop-off drama in Northeast PA has shifted from school grounds to the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania. The case started last August after Sarah Kim criticized her school district superintendent who was working curbside during school drop-off. Quote, my children received their first lesson. I'm sorry, let me do this again. Quote, my children received their first lesson of the school year. The superintendent screams at parents with their arms in the air as a tactic to, quote, move the line along. Kim wrote on Facebook. Superintendent Michelle Hartzell emailed Kim that day asking her to delete the post. Quote, possibly consider using some kind words such as, wow, it's nice to see our superintendent help out, she wrote, according to the court papers. What these parents don't understand is if once you actually deal with other parents, a lot of parents are just fucking clueless. Like, I'm sorry. I love you guys that are parents out there and everything. But, like, you know who I'm fucking talking about. It's probably not the people that are listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's these people that are so fucking preoccupied with, like, what the latest fucking thing on Instagram is or whatever. They're trying to check that and they're trying to drop their kid off or whatever. I don't fucking know. But it's like, it's unnecessarily complicated.
Yeah. Like, well, also, she didn't do it anonymously.
No.
Jeez. So her name's on it. So they're going to know whose kid it is. Why wouldn't you be nice to people that are going to have your kid all day long?
Because Megan.
And have a say in their future of education as long as you live there.
I mean, like, honestly, I completely agree. Plus, I don't think that a superintendent screaming at people to keep the fucking line moving, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, they're trying to get people like, in there so they're not tardy.
Well, it's like when Finn gets off the bus and he's like, the bus driver had to, like, slam on the brakes twice because kids were standing up while the bus was fucking moving.
Yeah.
And it's like, no shit, dude. There would be, like, casualties if I drove a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, like, the road from Hardin Valley to like the entire bus route would just be strewn with children that had been thrown out of my bus because they weren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
No, that wouldn't happen. But anyway, and obviously I'm joking for all the people that are too stupid to understand that. We have to say that on the podcast because sometimes people, it's like, oh my God, you said that you'd like put kids' bodies all over the roads. Joking. Hello.
Anyway,
it would just be my child's.
No. Stop.
Obviously, Kim declined. Quote, you had absolutely no qualms about embarrassing. I'm sorry. I misread it again. You had absolutely no qualms about embarrassing me in front of other parents, faculty, and children. Why wouldn't I return the favor?
Ooh, that was a good one.
Was that a good one?
Mm-hmm,
thank
you.
Yeah, dude. It's like these parents need to like fucking stay in their lane and like understand that running this shit is not easy. Mm-hmm. So maybe constructive criticism or maybe understanding from whence someone is coming kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you stand your ass out there and be given directions to a bunch of fucking clueless morons that haven't had enough Starbucks enemas, you know, to actually function for the fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyway. Yeah. So this was another really gnarly one that I wanted to talk about. Kim can fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Police in Goose Creek, SC, South Carolina, were called to a primary school last August. Trisha Rollins told police she had squeezed her car in front of another vehicle when the driver wouldn't let her into the line at drop-off. Two women from that car strode over to Rollins' window.
Oh, my goodness.
Rollins moved a non-working stun gun from the center console to her lap, a police report said. One of the women at her window pulled out a purple handgun, the woman told police.
Oh,
her companion had a handgun in her purse, the report said. No one was hurt, and the two women were arrested. Their cases are pending.
Yeah, oh, they're going to get something because they had a handgun on school.
Yeah, on school property, dude.
What an idiot. What idiots.
Yeah, this is just insane. Do all these fucking people not understand that they're all going to the same place?
No.
Like, apparently it's like
not.
It's like these idiots that, like, well, you know, Megan and I will be driving down fucking Hardin Valley, and people will pass people in the turn lane to get two cars up and then stopped at the same light that we're all at.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, it is the amount of just fucking stupidity in this world is just like enough to fucking choke on. Like, it's insane. It is absolutely insane. So I thought this was actually a really good idea.
Okay.
So, let's see. Here we go. Windsor Charter Academy in Windsor, Colorado capitalizes on car line angst by auctioning off prize parking spaces to parents. What a fundraiser. And you know people would fucking pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
The K through 12 charter school uses a dismissal app and gives parents detailed instructions. Even so, quote, It's a pain point, obviously, for parents, said Sarah Sanders, the school's communications director. Sarah Baldwin and Annalisa Brandley, sisters who collectively have four children at the school, bought their way out last year. They made the winning bid for exclusive use of a choice parking spot for the school year, $560.
That's not bad. If you're wanting to be one of those parents that...
Fucking send your kid on the bus for free.
I agree with you, obviously, but if they're splitting it between the two of them...
Okay, so we're looking at $280.
I mean...
That's basically a dollar for every day of school.
Okay, for four kids.
I fucking made him ride. Make him ride the bus and buy him a Switch.
But also, like, I don't understand how that works. Because when, well, here you'd be sitting in line to get to that parking spot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I mean, obviously there it works there because they just go to that parking spot, get them, and leave.
Yeah,
jet set.
Don't these two women look like people that would pay $560 for a?
Yeah, exactly.
So that is cool. All I have for the angst of dropping children off.
You got some intensity on that one.
Well, dude, theater. No, I'm just saying that it's like, it's one of these things that like, holy shit, dude, people just need to chill the fuck out.
I mean, I agree, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe some areas have really bad bus drivers.
Wait.
And they bad. Don't want their kid to ride on the bus.
Oh, well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not like we haven't heard of like
ours is pretty nice, so can't say much about it.
Yeah, and honestly, I it always like cracks me up when Finn's like, oh, our bus driver, he said two bad words today, and I was like, Finn, I would be like destroying you all with bad words if I was your bus driver. Right? So like, honestly, my hat goes off to the fact that he has enough like wherewithal to like, he has the wherewithal to like hold himself back to that point. So, all right. So do you want to do either the other, am I the asshole thing or would I be the asshole or do you want to do the quiz or
yeah, what are you let's, feeling? Let's
I need a little
this,
voice break for a second.
Let's give this guy some advice. Yep. So this one was a, will I be the asshole if I confronted my wife over something I've overheard?
Okay.
All right. And it says advice needed. Oh, let's see. I got to think of a voice for this one.
Push your mic a little bit further away from you.
Further away.
Yeah. And then just talk normal.
So I, 34 male, have been married to Sophie, 35 female, for 3 years now. We have a one female, is that right? One F?
I don't have it. You didn't send it to me.
It says we have a one F.
Did you send it to me?
Daughter together. What's a one F daughter?
A no, 1 year old female?
Oh, okay. I'm not on this thing. Okay.
No, I'm assuming that's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
I've always thought that we had a great relationship. I really love my wife, and I was very happy when my daughter was born. Sophie is a great mother, very attentive and kind, and an equally attentive, compassionate, loving wife. I thought I really lucked out. However, recently I've learned something that makes me question
however, she's
everything
a bitch.
I know about my relationship with Sophie.
You might have wondered how I got here.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Several days ago, I ran out on an errand that was supposed to take several hours, and Sophie knew I wouldn't be home for a while. It so happened that I came home much earlier than expected and saw a car of one of Sophie's friends. Now, there are two ways to enter the house, through the front door and through the kitchen. Usually, I go through the front door. But this time I went through the kitchen because I had this ice cream cake that was starting to melt and wanted to put it in the freezer ASAP.
That's weird to choose a different, like how much longer, what amount of time right? are you cutting off?
Right. Guess I was really quiet because Sophie and her friend didn't notice me coming, but I did hear my name and I have to admit, curiosity got the better of me. I kind of tiptoed to the corner to hear what was going on. I wish I never did.
My ice cream cake's melting everywhere.
Oh, goodness. Sophie was complaining to her friend how she's only married me because she wanted to be a mom and had to settle because she couldn't get the man she wanted. So she had to go for the ugly but dependable one. Her words.
Oh, wow.
But she was never attracted to me and had to force herself to be affectionate with me. She was temporarily happy when we had a daughter, but now she was starting to see my features in her and she was afraid our daughter would be just as ugly as my man. Or no, my name.
Yes.
She apparently never loved me and thought she made a mistake. but she was trapped now because the kid can't grow up without a father.
Hang on. Hang the fuck up. So this dude's holding an ice cream cake, like huddled in a corner, listening to this conversation.
I bet he put it up and tittered.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, if he just stayed in there. Okay. Anyway, he's like,
you, Sophie, you bitch. You're tearing me apart. This has some real, like, The Room feels.
Yeah, right. I have to admit, I just stood there unable to move. I would have never guessed any of that had I not heard Sophie say it herself. She is always very kind, very gentle, and very supportive. I really thought we had this ideal family life. Apparently, this has all been a lie. She isn't cheating. Her friend actually did ask her that, and Sophie was aghast. She is very firm in always keeping her promises, and wedding vows count. She explicitly said to her friend that she'd never cheat, but she doesn't love me. She doesn't want me. She's been lying to me the whole time, and it's breaking me apart.
Oh, why could they not have put tearing?
Right? I don't know what to do from here. Do I confront her? Do I pretend I've never heard it?
First of all, I think this is the second one that you've picked out that is absolutely fake. But
what?
Yeah, this is
How
fake.
How do you know if these are fake?
It's totally fucking fake.
Okay, well, who cares? I read it.
But
so
yeah,
answer.
But,
give them your advice to the faker.
All right, first of all, fucking get good.
Oh my gosh, the comments. Everyone deserves to have someone who thinks they are hot.
Dude, this just doesn't like... This just seems like way too like drama. Like, this seems like it would happen on General Hospital or some shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
here you go. You got one. Are you serious? You stood there and then what? Tiptoed outside to make it like you just got there? Why are you posting fake crap? All you had to do is walk out there and not say a word. But no, you went on Mission Impossible to get Reddit's opinion on your marriage, which really doesn't exist. If this is real and you don't leave, then you're in for a lot of misery.
Dude, I completely agree with that.
All right, I didn't read the comments because I didn't know about this fake
worldness. Oh, they always, I mean, the internet's fake, Megan.
I know.
But like if we, you know, I can suspend my disbelief and I can pretend. Try to. Yeah, yeah, I can pretend mm-hmm. that this is real. I would say confront him because, like, honestly, that sounds like your marriage is shit.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly.
Yeah,
I think this is actually really cut and dry. It's like, talk to your wife, say, hey, I brought in this melty ice cream cake. I'm sorry that it's melted. Like, first of all, apologize for the melted ice cream cake. Second of all.
Why are there tears? Yeah. Why are there tears in my ice cream cake?
Yes. Why are there tears in my ice cream cake? I didn't order any fucking tears in my ice cream cake. Son of a bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, dude, like, I think that this is silly, and I think that this is, I mean, dude, why would you not immediately walk out there and just be like, what the fuck, Trina? Or whatever,
well, why
Sophie?
Would you, like, tiptoe into your house? It's like you're asking to, like...
Yeah, why was he
that
sneaking?
That was weird.
Well, it is an ice cream cake. Is it a surprise party? Surprise!
Here's an I love you cake, but yeah. Now I hate you.
Here's an I'm dependable but ugly cake. Jeez, dude.
All right, tell me about this female player that...
Yeah, I'm gonna
because someone was stinky.
I'm gonna do that one, and I'm gonna do the towing thing, and then we can either or I'll do that one, and then you can do. Do you want to do the quiz?
My trivia.
Yeah, do the trivia, yeah. And then I'll finish with the towing thing because it's kind of crazy and short. So
okay,
and then we'll just call it a day. So
sounds
because this other thing's kind of dry. Okay. All right, so female Yu-Gi-Oh! Player quits tournament because opponents smelled bad. So I didn't realize this, but apparently this is like a real fucking issue at like whatever competitive card playing game kind of things. So like people will specifically not bathe or put shit on them that smells bad to like mess with the person. Ew. That they're like, yeah. So check this out.
Gross.
Well, no shit, Megan. Like you didn't marry a fucking incel, like, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, personal hygiene is always important, but some gaming conventions and tournaments have earned a reputation for their players not exactly showing up fresh. Over the years, we've seen plenty of instances where an attendee's smell causes backlash, and it's not just limited to the U.S. Earlier this month, a Japanese tournament went off the rails when a player's smell was so bad it made a competitor quit. This situation became public in a thread on X where a player expressed concern for one of the women competing after revealing it was her first ever Yu-Gi-Oh! Event and was under the impression she got clobbered. However, the female player would set the matter straight, revealing that she left because of third-rate duelists with fourth-rate hygiene. Duelists are what they call like the people that play against each other.
Figured.
So, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, all Captain right. Obvious.
And that's why I love you. Quote, I left halfway through because I couldn't stand the smell, she said. Not that I'm sad about losing it all or anything. In the comments, the player elaborated on the disgust, explaining that the smell was, quote, no laughing matter, end quote, and urged duelists to take baths. Quote, there's some stinky female duelists, but the men are in a class of their own, she added.
Gross.
Hygiene has been so much of an issue at Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments that Konami even made a rule that players who show up smelling bad or wearing dirty clothes could be penalized. Mm. The problem isn't limited to Yu-Gi-Oh! Either. Last year, Smash Pro Cosmos struggled to find deodorant at a tournament after his opponent complained about his body odor.
Ew.
Like, what?
So this will probably sound mean, but can you imagine, like,
stinky people? Yes. Well,
so it says Yu-Gi-Oh, right? Yeah. So that's Japanese. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like sumo wrestlers coming in to play Yu-Gi-Oh? They'd probably be so stinky.
They probably smell good. Mm-mm. I bet they smell really. I bet sumo wrestlers smell good. I mean, right after like wrestling.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine taking a stereotypical sumo wrestler body in their outfits and get them to play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Imagine having one of their, like, bottom things thrown on your head.
Ew. No, thank
Well, didn't
you.
That happen in a movie? What movie really? Did that happen
I
in?
I don't know.
I think it was, like, Austin
what
Powers
What is Yu-Gi-Oh?
Or something. It's a card game.
What even, is this, like, Pokemon, but Japanese version?
I think it's like, well, is it like
Pokemon Japanese?
Yeah, but I think it's like magic and all that shit. That it's like you have different cards and then you have different like multipliers. And okay. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Nerd alert.
I believe the way that you are supposed to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Is two duelists meet and they.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's so gross, though.
That's disgusting. Like,
holy
Ugh.
Hell.
Ugh.
But these, gross. I mean, honestly, these tournaments are supposed to be, I'm pretty sure they're worth, like, a lot of money. So.
Really?
So, I don't know.
Get into it. Be stinky. So you can win.
I'm already stinky. Now I just need to know how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Anywho.
Yes.
All right, Miri. I'm ready for my. Right. Or do you want me to? Do you want to finish with the quiz, or do we want to finish with an article?
It's up to you, podcaster.
Today you're a podcaster.
Why don't you do article, and then we'll finish with trivia. Since
Perfect.
We're not doing another. You're after dark.
No, it's not after dark.
I know it's not after dark.
Untethered.
Untethered, since you're not doing Untethered.
Yeah, we're at a minute, an hour three, which is probably closer to an hour. So Sorry, this one's going to be a little bit shorter, but all good.
Sorry, I didn't know I needed to find some articles because someone didn't tell Daniel until like 3:30.
Hey, this just in. I didn't know that you needed to come up with the articles. So the fact that we like made this happen to the extent that it has, hell yeah.
Sorry, Larry. Just
And also let us know if you enjoy hearing Megan's little voice on the podcast, then let me know, tetherradio@gmail.com, and maybe we can get her back on here guesting more than occasionally. So
or get Larry to find the Am I the Asshole, the real ones, and then I can read them since he doesn't do voices.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like that. All right. So San Francisco woman describes tow truck trying to nab her moving car. So Megan, silence your computer. Watch the video while I'm going through this. Nice. So a California couple is detailing the terrifying turn of events when a tow truck tried to tow them while driving through downtown San Francisco earlier this week. Quote, "We were at a stoplight and minding our own business," said Joanne, who only provided her first name. She described running errands with her husband Tuesday morning. While the couple was stopped, they thought the yellow specialty towing truck was moving toward a nearby Waymo autonomous vehicle, but soon it was getting too close for comfort. Quote, "He came from the side. I thought he was turning right. He started in reverse, and all the lights came on. That's when we were like, hey, something's really wrong. His lever was coming down," she said. In video taken by a witness, the tow truck can be seen making several attempts to hook onto their 2017 Toyota Corolla. A witness can be heard on the video screaming, "What the fuck are you doing?" I don't know if that's how they screamed it, but I like that one too. When the light turns green, the Waymo next to Joanne and her husband drives off. The couple then realize they're stuck in front of a black sedan. Quote, "We were freaking out. The first instinct was to get away," Joanne said. Fortunately, the black car backs up and Joanne's husband is able to drive away. The tow truck then begins to chase them for several blocks.
What?
Quote, "It's definitely really scary," said Joanne, who looks back at the incident and wonders what would happen if the tow truck was successful in hooking onto their car. ABC's San Francisco affiliate KGO reached out to Special Towing via email and phone, but did not hear back. The company, along with two others, were charged by city attorney David Chu in February for fraud and illegally towing parked cars. His office described the company as, quote, "unscrupulous," end quote, in an online news release. Specialty towing is now prohibited from bidding or receiving city contracts. But doesn't that mean that they can still fucking function? They're just not going to be, like, contracted out by the city? Like, it's not like their business license is getting pulled.
Yeah, I guess. That's kind of how it reads.
Right?
Yeah.
So my thing is like, so what the fuck, like, who the fuck cares? They probably weren't receiving city contracts in the first place if they're functioning doing that. So Joanne and her husband said they were eventually able to lose the tow truck and drove back home to the East Bay. They maintained they didn't do anything wrong and are still perplexed as to why they were targeted. Quote, "Full disclaimer, I definitely paid off my car. I paid my registration," end quote.
Why does that need to be put? That makes me feel like she didn't do something.
I know, right?
That's why, like, she's putting that in there.
My God, the guilty dog always barks, man. Right? Joanne is planning to file a police report soon and is sharing their story to raise awareness for other drivers.
That's so crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
dude,
they're also in San Francisco, so...
Yeah, it's basically the Wild West, so...
Well, I went out to San Francisco with my parents. I think it was, like, high school or something.
So, like, 20 years ago?
Or maybe middle... I don't know. It was middle school or high school. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah. But my parents were running a marathon, and we had parked the car, the rental,
on this, I mean, everywhere in San Francisco, you have to park on the side.
Yeah.
So we'd parked the car, walked to the convention center to pick up the packets for them, their race packets. And we were walking back, and I was like, isn't that the rental car? Like, isn't that our car right there? And it was on a tow truck. They had just picked it up. And so my mom starts running after the tow truck. And it's like, hey, that's our car. Like, put the car, that's our car. Like, we were parked in
a spot
that was fine to be parked at. And then, I kind of forget what happened. But I think he pulled to the side because, obviously, I mean, you know my mom and her country accent. So, he knew we weren't from there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he did. He pulled off to the side at, like, one of these garage door openings, like, for a garage parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
He parked at one of those. And let us have the car so we didn't have to follow him to figure out where he was taking it.
Oh, I guarantee your parents had to give him money then.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. But at least we didn't have to, like...
Towing services are, like, they're extortionists.
Yeah,
like,
but that happened in San Francisco.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something about San Francisco.
Yeah, stay away from it. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, that's all I've got there. But, like, honestly, I would absolutely tell everyone to go try to check out this video because it's wild.
It's insane.
I mean, it's literally, they're just stopped at a light and this dude's backing up trying to get the, whatever the thing is, the bar that if you get it behind the front wheels or whatever, I think it's behind the front wheels.
I don't understand how that wouldn't tear up their car, though.
I don't know. Why? I think this is a crazy person. To be perfectly candid with you.
The tow truck?
Yeah. Because otherwise, I'm pretty fucking sure you have to, like, either have the car...
raise the car or something, right?
Something. More than just fucking, like, doing it at a stoplight. I'll tell you that much.
That would be terrifying, having a tow truck backing up into you.
Yeah. That's wild.
But I still don't get, like, how it would attach and you would drive off with it, with people in the car, too.
I mean, people in the car don't matter, but, like...
Well, I know, but, like, surely you'd be freaking out trying to, like, reverse speed or something to get off of it if you did somehow get attached to it.
It's front-wheel drive, though.
Mm. Okay.
Or a lot of the little cars are front-wheel drive.
Listen!
Stop
crushing all my dreams.
No. Oh, you want to be like a fraudulent tow truck driver?
Yes.
I can see you doing that in another life.
Get some money from these people.
Exactly.
Nah.
All right. Hit me.
All right. So I picked out 100. I'm not going to do all 100, of course.
My God.
4 movie trivia questions to test scary flick IQ.
Right.
And it said updated February 2024. Oh. This is from Old Reader's Digest. Readers. A trusted friend in a complicated world. I didn't know that was their tagline.
I didn't either. Trusted friend. Dude, Reader's Digest. I think the last Reader's Digest that I ever saw was on my grandmother, who now has been dead for like probably 15 years.
Okay.
It was on her coffee table.
Yeah, my grandparents had this too. All right. Let's see here.
All right, you wanna here, you can have access to the
I don't know what any of those buttons are.
Oh, no, this is the best part.
Okay.
All you have to know is green and red. Green.
Ooh.
Red.
Okay. All right, question number 1.
Okay.
Danielson, what is wildly considered to be the first horror movie made?
Nosferatu. I don't know what.
It was made in 1898.
I guess I was thinking first vampire, but...
The House of the Devil.
Oh, no. We saw the remake. We own the remake.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
Okay, this one, you should be able to get this one.
Okay.
What is the name of Neve Campbell's character in Scream?
Oh, I have no fucking clue. Wait.
What?
Neve Campbell was in Scream?
Yes.
Is she the main girl?
Yes.
I don't know. Her name's Girl?
No.
I don't know what. What is her name?
Sydney Prescott.
Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah. Are you ready to die?
God, that was pretty good. I like that. That's creepy. All right.
In Jeepers Creepers, the creeper rises every how many years to feed?
15.
23.
You're not using the buttons.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. My gosh.
Listen, son.
Put your hand on. But if you rest your hand on it.
I can't. There's too much activity happening. Okay. All right. I 100% know you'll get this correct. What is the name of the summer camp where Friday the 13th
Camp Crystal Lake. Oh, yeah.
Let's see if you remember. You probably will, though, because I think we've watched this recently. What kind of allergy?
I'll tell you what. I will. I'll give a little bit of time so listeners can respond.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What kind of allergy does Charlie have in Hereditary?
Ooh, I know this one. Uh-huh. I know it. And if you don't know it, then it is nuts.
Yep, a nut allergy. Ding, ding. This one might be a little hard. We'll see. They've made several remakes of it, so.
Okay.
What is the name of the possessed young girl in The Exorcist?
Her name is, because it's an, oh my gosh, and I know everybody's yelling it,
It kind of sounds like a boy.
Yeah,
name.
Yeah, I know it does. And I don't.
It rhymes with my name.
It rhymes with Megan.
Yeah.
Reagan.
Nice.
Yeah. It doesn't rhyme.
Well, close enough.
Begin rhymes with Megan.
Okay, spelled like Megan with a different. First letter.
Reagan? No,
This one might be hard. In which state does the Blair Witch Project take place?
Ooh. Is it Northeast?
Yes.
Okay. Massachusetts.
It is one of the M's, but not Massachusetts.
Maine.
No. Do the state song. I know that's buddy. It.
It's
right after Maine.
Maine, Massachusetts, and Michigan?
Maine, Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah. Oh. All right, you'll definitely get this one. Who plays Pennywise in 2017's It?
Skarsgård, but I can't remember his first name. Bill Skarsgård.
Ooh, in The Ring. How long do people...
7 days.
You didn't even let me finish it for your listeners.
Give me a dig. Just kidding. Because she goes, 7 days.
Yeah. That's not... Okay, whatever. Who directed acclaimed horror movies, Get Out and Us? Us was great.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah. I loved Us.
Us was really good.
Yeah. Do we own that one? We should probably
No, we do own it.
We do?
We own it.
Okay.
I always buy the ones that we like.
Okay.
Or at least I put a price tracker on it until it gets to around $10. Okay.
Well, yeah. Except for we don't have that anymore. So. Okay. I've never actually heard of this one. What is the name of the man Dr. Caligari controls
in? Caligari?
Caligari controls in the cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
What is the...
name of the man that he controls.
That's a really fucking old one. I don't know the name. It's not like...
Cess? Cessare? Cessare?
Spell it.
C-E-S-A-R-E. Cesar?
Caesar? Cesar?
That's not Caesar.
Cesar?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cesar? Sure.
Maybe.
Great.
But no, that's supposed to be a really creepy movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's it about? Do you know?
Not a whole lot. Yeah, I think that's Cesar.
Oh, that's a weird way to spell it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Which horror movie stars Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr.? They spelled his name wrong, I think. Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe.
Is that I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yes.
What is I Know What You Did Last Summer?
How about a couple more?
Yeah.
In which city does Rosemary's Baby take place?
Ooh. San Francisco. New York.
Mm-hmm. New York City.
It's. I knew it was like it, these were the these were my three guesses: San Francisco, New York, and L.A.
Nice. So. All right, here we go. This should be an easy one. This would be one Allie could scream at. Which author of scary books holds the record for the most book-to-movie adaptations in the horror genre?
Bobby King. Stephen King? I don't know.
Seriously?
I mean, like, what? It's not
Stephen King.
I said Stephen
King. I know,
King.
But you said Bobby King.
I was joking.
I was like, wow.
No, I'm kidding. What I'm joking. No, I said Bobby King, and then I said, I'm kidding, Stephen King.
I didn't hear you say I'm kidding. I was like, wow.
No, absolutely.
Who is this idiot I married?
Thank you.
Kidding. Okay. What title is Danny crowned in Midsommar?
Oh, God. I don't know. Wait. I don't know. Some kind of fucking queen?
May Queen.
May Queen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Queen.
Yes, Queen. All right. I'll give you two more.
All right.
Passengers must survive what kind of outbreak in Train to Busan?
Zombie.
Yeah, that actually was a pretty good one.
That was a good one.
I saw a...
What was the show that we watched that was the kids?
Oh, man, that was a good one.
I think I liked that more than Train to Busan.
I mean, but Train to Busan was made way before that show.
Okay.
I forget what that show is called, though.
Okay, well, how about this? I like Fight Club more than both of those, and that was made way before both of those.
Okay. All right, let me find a good one. Oh. Dang, dude, it's hard. Okay. Okay, I lied. One more, and then another one after it.
Okay. All right. Then we're wrapping.
Dude, I could ask you trivia questions all day long.
Okay. I love
what
trivia.
What year was the original The Texas Chainsaw Massacre released? The original.
78?
Ooh, close.
77.
1974.
I knew it was in the 70s, but...
Yeah. All right, I'm only asking you this one because we just watched it, like, pretty recently.
Yikes.
And it's a great one to go back just to watch. Okay. Which city were Alex and his classmates flying to when he had a disturbing premonition on the plane in Final
Amsterdam.
Destination? No.
I don't fucking wait, we did not watch this recently at all.
Yeah, we did.
When was the last time that we watched
this? We watched it within the past 6 months.
I don't remember. okay, France.
Yeah, they were going to Paris.
Paris, yeah, sorry.
Remember, because the plane blows up.
And then they...
And catches
like,
on fire.
He
and
gets
then they
impaled
all...
on the...
At the very end.
On the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, they're eating at the breakfast thing and the sign comes off.
But the Eiffel Tower doesn't fall.
I'm joking. Oh,
okay. I was like, no.
I love that I could just say shit and you're like, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, because they're eating at a cafe and the sign falls down and like...
Yeah, and it starts
knocks
back
somebody's
over.
Head off or some shit. Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, spoiler alert for 2001.
Surely they've seen it.
Of course.
Listening to this.
Megan and I love to do like marathons of
horrible movies.
Final Destination and followed by Fast and Furious.
God, we can't ever watch that again.
It's true. I cry too much on the seventh one.
Mm-hmm.
Pour one out for Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
All right, that's it.
Is that that's it?
I mean, there's a lot more, but I'm not going to ask you them all.
Do one more question because I can't end on a flipping failure.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Give me something. Give me an easy peasy.
No, I'm not giving you an easy one. You should know all these. You're the horror movie freakoid.
Freakoid?
Yeah.
You bet.
Okay. I wouldn't have guessed this. All right. What is the highest grossing horror movie of all time?
Highest grossing. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to guess... What horror movie is really, really... Is The Conjuring up there?
I mean, it just gives me the answer.
Okay.
So, no, it's not The Conjuring.
It's not Blair Witch, right? Mm-mm. Because that would have been net. Because I think they only spent like $30,000 on that fucking movie.
It's been remade.
Is it so like Last House on the Left or some shit like that?
It's been remade, and I don't know which year it was because it just gives the answer of what the movie is.
Dead House. I don't know.
No. No one has heard of Dead House.
I know. Dead House doesn't exist, I don't think. Give me a hint.
You answered a question about one of the characters earlier. Dang it, I can't tell you.
It's not
We All Float Down Here.
Oh, really? It?
Yeah.
That was the highest grossing?
Yeah.
That makes sense. The first one was really good. But it the second tell one you just fucking year. Peters out, though.
But I don't know if it's, I would assume it's the I most think it's, recent.
Well, so
ones.
If it's grossing, absolutely. Because, like, unless it's, like, adjusted for inflation kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But. All right, I'm looking at the time. I think we're going to fucking do this.
Okay.
Miri, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, like, honestly, that I really appreciate it. And I have to say, Miri took it upon herself to actually volunteer up. I was just going to say, you know what, we're just going to forego this. I'm glad that we did not because I did have some fun articles to cover,
yeah.
And you had some really fun trivia, and
you're welcome for Am I the Assholes? Your fake so. Am I the Assholes?
Yeah, yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know if we're going to have a newsletter for this one. I will ask Allie, because she's on vacay right now, and I can send her some stuff, and I'm sure she can throw something together, but I'm not sure she wants to, and I don't blame her. But but yeah, if you want access to the article links and stuff, email me. I dare you. I'm gonna make you do some work though. So you email me and I promise I will send it back to you. You can send that to tetherradio@gmail.com. You can also send all of your constructive criticism to tetherradio@gmail.com. Check out the merch store, tinyurl.com/tethermerch. And if we do have a, oh my gosh, if we have a newsletter go out, you can go to, tetherradio.substack.com and check that out there. We thank you so much for joining us for right around 1 hour and a half. We're episode 298. I'm Daniel.
I'm Megan.
And thank you guys so much again for hanging out with us and putting up with the shenanigans for a weird ass off week. We hope you guys have a fantastic week. We will not have an Untethered this week, but
sorry.
Be sure, yeah, but be sure to check out the full episode on Monday. And I guess until then, take it easy, friendos.
Bye.